Welcome to the Anxious Attachment Solution. I am your host, Life Coach Amberlynn. I teach women how to take back their brain from anxious attachment patterns with love and compassion. It is my mission to help every anxiously attached woman understand their brain, stop the anxious cycle, and finally feel confident and secure in who they are so they can live the life they want. I'm so glad you're here with me today. Hello and welcome to the Anxious Attachment Solution. I am your host, Life Coach Amberlynn, and I help people like me with anxious attachment rewire their brain to develop healthier relationship habits while breaking their anxious attachment cycle. I am currently doing a series on Anxious to Aware. Most of you that listen to my podcast know you have anxious attachment, but some are not so sure if this podcast is for them. So I wanted to continue the episode from last week. Today, I am doing the second part of 10 signs that you might have anxious attachment and what you can do to stop them, stop these patterns. So let's dive right back in. Do you feel like you can never just relax or rest, always searching or scanning your partner's moods, tone, or body language, afraid something's off even when nothing is wrong? This is known as hypervigilance. Sometimes we, with anxious attachment, have a nervous system that has been wired to be on high alert, looking for anything that means that something is off or that something is wrong in our relationship, or that our relationship is over. The fancy word is called hypervigilant. We become hypervigilant, often leading us to become codependent, people-pleasing, taking everything personal. This itself could be its own podcast and eventually will be. And it leaves us in a constant state of overwhelm and stress. When we live in a constant state of unease, in a state of constant fear, it creates so much pressure, leaving us to feel like we have to be, quote, perfect. We have to anticipate our partner's needs. We have to be so aware so we can notice any change. Then, since we are so aware, we see a change and we make it mean we did something wrong, or we make it mean something went wrong, causing our anxious attachment to be triggered and starting the cycle. The tone changes. Their tone changes. We have thoughts that create the feeling of fear and we shut down, or we seek reassurance. We seek validation. When we notice ourselves searching or scanning for something, like looking for that red flag, looking for something that is wrong or off, this is when we have to become aware. This is our cue that we are not present. We are future thinking, future saving a catastrophe that has not yet happened. Let me say that again. We are trying to future save a catastrophe that has not yet happened. When we are not present, we make things a problem that are not yet or may never will be a problem. When we start to people please and start taking everything personally, we stop validating ourselves. We start taking responsibility for our partner's feelings, which, side note, we are not in control over. People pleasing is really people manipulating. We don't want to feel a certain feeling. We don't want to feel fear, rejection, or any other uncomfortable feeling. So we do what we think will make us not feel that way, whether we really want to do it or not. If we do what our partner wants us to do when we don't really want to, we don't have to feel the uncomfortable feeling of communicating our desires or our wants and the possibility that they might not like it. We think we are avoiding a problem when we are actually just causing a bigger internal problem. Because eventually this leads to resentment and this leads to us not showing up as our full selves. Oftentimes us with anxious attachment habits leave us not showing up as our true selves because we're too worried about the other person's feelings. The problem with this is that eventually we lose ourselves because we stop listening to our own needs. We stop listening to our own wants, our own desires. The second problem is that we start taking everything personally and making it mean something about how our partner feels about us. Projecting. That's what this is called. This is called projecting. creating problems where there may not have actually been a problem. When we take every shift in tone personally, when we take every body language to mean something about us or about our relationship, when we take anything to mean something because we're scanning for problems, we're never at ease. We are never just present in the moment, and we end up making a story about something that we don't even know is true. So when I notice I'm doing this, and when my clients notice they're doing this, what I tell them is to ask yourself, am I trying to people please? What am I avoiding here? What am I afraid of here? What if I didn't take this personally? What my brain thinks they think is actually what I think of myself. It's my own fears. So how can I reflect on if it's even true? It's that fact versus story that our brain is telling us. What are the facts of the situation, and what's the story or your brain making it mean? Remind yourself, you do not cause other people's feelings. Their thoughts create their feelings. Same for you though. Other people don't cause your feelings, your thoughts do. So not every change in tone, not every short text, not every rescheduled date, not every negative body language means danger for you. It does not mean you are not good enough or that you are not loved. It just means that your anxious attachment brain has been wired to scan for danger. So we have to stop ourselves. When our brain is looking for evidence of a problem, it will find it. So we have to stop it. We have to redirect our brain on purpose. And that is what I work with my clients on through the secure method. Do you have low self-worth in a relationship? Do you think that you're too much or not enough or both? Often feeling your partner is out of your league or will eventually realize they don't really love you? Or do you feel like one day they will just wake up and see you for who you are and no longer love you? If so, listen to the next episode that's coming, because I'll be addressing this in its own episode. Feeling like too much and not enough in the same space in your body. I just want you to know that if you have low self-esteem, it's okay, you're in the right place, and I will help you develop secure self-worth. First, it's important to know that self-esteem is created by thoughts. Thoughts that we think about ourselves over and over again. These thoughts create an insecure self-worth, low self-esteem, or they create a secure self-worth, high self-esteem. These thoughts become self-beliefs. And the stories our brain tells us over and over again about ourselves when we're triggered. I help my clients create secure self-worth and high self-esteem through thought work. Learning how to create new thoughts while neutralizing negative thoughts. Creating new self-beliefs by practicing new thoughts on purpose. Rewriting their story about their lovability, about their worthiness. And just a little spoiler alert. You can have high self-esteem, secure self-worth, and still have thoughts creep in that create insecurity. Self-love journey is not a straight line. It is not like from point A to point B. It's an entire human journey and experience. Self-love is what you do when your brain is being an asshole to you. Do you let it keep beating you up? Or do you tell it to shut up and talk back to it? Do you remind yourself that you are worthy of the love that you want? Do you believe in your dreams and your goals for your life and your relationship? Do you build trust with yourself and listen to your wants and needs? Do you have your own back no matter what the outcome is? Or do you beat yourself up? Remember, you are worthy. You are inherently worthy, exactly as you are. You are good enough. You are not too much. Your anxious attachment has just developed some habits that you may want to change and that are no longer serving you. At one point in time, it worked. It helped you survive. But now you're realizing, hey, I don't really like these habits that I've developed in my relationships. And that's okay. You're in the right place. Your anxious attachment is not you. And you are not your anxious attachment. It is just something that happens in your nervous system that you can learn to calm, to control, and to rewire with time, with patience, and with true self-belief. So, you might have anxious attachment if you find yourself people-pleasing instead of facing conflict, suppressing your needs and opinions to avoid upsetting others, not just your partner, people in your life and in your sphere, hoping this will keep them from leaving. I call this a perfectionist fantasy. If I am perfect, they will love me and not leave me. AKA, I can't make any mistakes or they will leave me. I also call this a boundary killer. Oftentimes, us with anxious attachment will do almost anything to avoid conflict. We anticipate others' needs. We do things before they ask. We try to do everything, quote, right. We say yes when we want to say no. We bend a boundary we really don't want to. We try to be who we think the other person wants us to be or needs us to be, which is actually what creates so many unnecessary conflicts and misunderstandings. When it comes to facing conflict, our work is learning how to not take things personally, learning that we are responsible for our own feelings and others are responsible for theirs. It's learning how to state our needs without making someone else the problem or the person responsible. It's learning how to talk assertively and lovingly. Our work is in learning how to say the hard, uncomfortable things while our hearts race. It's learning to face the fear of hurting someone's feelings, doing it wrong, quote wrong, becoming too much, because if you cannot communicate through conflict, you will never actually get a resolution. And resentment builds. Inner conflict builds. Everything stays unresolved. The hard part here is that our anxious attachment gets triggered when conflict arises. So before we can even communicate, we have to learn to calm and soothe our anxious attachment. Before we try to communicate through a conflict. Because if we don't, we end up not listening to our partner. We end up becoming defensive. Our inner monologue becomes self-critical, creating so much more unnecessary pressure that we then start justifying or keeping score or defending ourselves. If you see yourself doing this in a conflict, this is like your sign and your cue that your anxious attachment is probably activated and that you may want to take a break and reset before moving forward in this conversation. See, in these moments, if you're like me, your brain starts going off on everything you did wrong or didn't do perfectly, so then you feel the need to prove yourself and prove all that you do for the other person. But this is what your brain is doing to you. It is not, in fact, what the actual conflict is about, and it's not what your partner is actually saying to you. So instead of just hearing a conflict, our brain hears criticism. And we have so much self-imposed pressure that we become overwhelmed. And we may even shut down or explode. So if this happens during a conflict, it may be best to communicate to your partner, like we have our own phrases and our own things that we say when this happens. Take a moment, create your own code words for when your nervous system has been hijacked, your body, your mind, you're no longer in the driver's seat. It can sound something like, hey, I can't hear you right now because my brain is being so mean to me and it has really triggered my anxious attachment. So I'm going to go get some water. I'm going to go for a walk and then come back to this conversation when I'm calm and regulated. Because I really want to hear you, but all I can hear right now is my brain being so critical of myself that it's not allowing me to be present in this actual moment. Then once you've realized that your brain was saying all the critical thoughts and it wasn't actually your partner, and they weren't what your partner was saying, it's easier to hear what the conflict is or hear what the problem is. In the moment, we only hear our own thoughts and we think that our partner is thinking the same self-critical thoughts we are about us, when most often they aren't. So we create more problems instead of handling the one conflict at a time. Our inner monologue creates more conflict, creates more obstacles. But there's good news. Over time, this does get easier. Once you are able to become aware of your brain projecting all of your self-critical thoughts as thoughts that your partner is thinking about you, and you become aware that it is, in fact, your brain thinking those thoughts, it is not your partner. The thoughts you are thinking are stories your brain has been telling you because of what happened. Your brain is making it mean more than what they are actually saying. Try to focus on what they are actually saying. What's actually the problem? What are the exact words that are coming out of your partner's mouth? What is actually the conflict about? Instead of what your brain is making it about, instead of the story your brain is making it mean, we have to learn how to separate these. An important tool is learning how to differentiate, tell the difference between reality, the real facts that are happening, and the story that your brain is making up. The story that your anxious attachment is making a conflict mean. So, some questions I ask myself or I ask my clients to help them through. What is my brain making this conflict mean? Most often, this will reveal to you thoughts that cause shame or guilt that creates more pressure and stress and fear. And then ask yourself, what is my partner actually saying? If you are the one that needs to communicate something, remember that you are allowed to state your needs. It is going to feel uncomfortable, and it's okay. Do it scared, do it nervous. You are allowed to want certain things in a relationship. While simultaneously, you have to know that you cannot control other people. It's a hard line to walk right there. You can share what you want and need, and both people have autonomy in a relationship. And then you get to decide, is this relationship working for me? Learning how to create relationships that are strong enough for boundaries and true communication takes time and practice, but you are in the right place. That is exactly what this podcast will help you do. So you might have anxious attachment if you feel like you are on a constant emotional roller coaster. Do you experience intense highs and lows in a relationship? One thing can make or break your day. You feel calm and then something happens and it changes everything. This is a direct result of having a dysregulated nervous system. Insecure self-worth, the belief that other people create your feelings, and the lack of self-accountability for our own emotional reaction. When we believe that other people make us feel a certain way or they create our emotions, then we can't feel better until they do something to make us feel better, which takes away our power and our control, making us feel helpless and hopeless. We have highs and lows when we let every little thing, every little conflict become a huge problem. When we let any small thing mean it's the end of the world, it's the end of the relationship. This is not what we want to do at all. This is just the story that our anxious attachment brain is used to telling us. We're used to this up and down. We're so used to it, in fact, that our brain and nervous system attracts it. It desires it, even though it is not what is helpful. And it is not giving us the relationship that we want. We, as anxiously attached people, have to stop reading into every little thing. The overthinking, right? We have to stop making everything big or small mean our relationship is over, or mean that we are failing, or mean that we're not good enough, or mean we are too much. We have to stop believing every story our brain tells us, because just like every thought is optional, every story we have about ourselves is optional. And we have to start making things mean what they actually mean and create new self-beliefs. We have to take time to develop a secure self-worth inside of ourselves. This is what I help my clients do daily. We have to know outside of our relationship that we are secure. We can really handle anything. We really won't die if something does go wrong in our relationship. We may feel like we're dying. We may feel like there's a saber-toothed tiger after us. But we have to remind our brain that every heartbreak we have really had, it sucked. 1,000%. Percents. Do you like that? It sucks. And we survived every single one of them. Maybe not gracefully or with dignity, but we in fact did survive. We have to develop that confidence and that self-trust. We have to start asking ourselves if the thoughts we are thinking are helpful. And if they are not, we have to start choosing new thoughts on purpose. And if the thoughts we are thinking are not serving us, and they are making us feel insecure, unworthy, rejected, unloved, we have to ask ourselves, why are we still letting ourselves think this thought? Why are we allowing that thought to keep coming back? Remember, again, all thoughts are optional. So why are you letting that one make or break your day? You do not have to be on the emotional roller coaster. You can learn how to regulate your emotions by doing thought work, becoming aware of your thoughts, becoming aware of your anxious thoughts. Ask yourself, what happened? What am I making it mean? How does that make me feel? When I feel that way, how do I show up in my life? How do I show up in my relationships? Am I getting what I want out of life with this thought? Am I getting the results in my relationship that I want? If you're not, ask yourself, how do I want to show up? What would I have to feel to show up that way? What would I have to think to feel that way? You might have anxious attachment if you have difficulty trusting in a relationship. Trusting them is hard, and trusting yourself is even harder. Even when there is no evidence not to trust your partner, you find it hard to trust them, so you assume the worst. This is something else that goes back to the hypervigilance, the making things mean more than the facts or reality, believing thoughts versus believing what is actually happening, facts versus our projected thoughts or our insecurities. Throughout my podcast, I talk about how to create self-trust and how to create trust in relationships. I work with my clients on really knowing if the thoughts they are thinking are true and real, or if they are stories their anxious attachment are used to having and creating. Building trust with yourself takes learning how to have your own back no matter what. This in of itself will be a complete episode because so much goes into creating trust with yourself. Once you have trust in yourself, it becomes easier to have trust in others. Another thing about trusting yourself is that we have spent, us as anxious attached people, have spent the majority of our lives in our brain instead of in our body because we have learned that we can't trust our feelings, so we can't trust our body, so we dissociate, right? So we've kind of disconnected our body from our brain, and we didn't trust ourselves with our own emotions because we've been told our whole life that we're too much. So another part of building this trust in relationship is learning to drop back into your body, learning how to feel feelings again, and learning to believe that you are safe when you feel those feelings, that you are a safe harbor, a safe sanctuary for all of the feelings that you will encounter, that you can actually and are capable of feeling those feelings inside your body. And slowly over time, that builds trust within yourself. So you might have anxious attachment if you feel like you are too much. If you feel like you are too needy or clingy, you feel like fear when there's distance or emotional separation. If your partner pulls away, you chase them somehow to get reconnected. phone calls showing up, text messaging. This stems from all of our own self-deprecating thoughts about our lovability. This stems from having low self-esteem and insecure self-worth. We feel like a lot or too much because our brain constantly tells us that we are. And we believe it because being someone with anxious attachment, we have lived a life with a brain that has been mean to us, makes us earn love, prove our worth. We also have felt all the inner overwhelm that feels like too much for us ourselves. We wish we were different. We wish we didn't have to deal with all this extra stuff. So it's too much for ourselves. And our brain makes it too much for other people. For those of us doing the work to develop different habits, we're doing a lot of work to self-regulate. We're doing a lot of work to rewire our brain and to develop new habits. So sometimes, some days, some hours, some minutes, it feels like a lot. Feels like too much. And before we start this work, we were a lot because we needed a lot of reassurance. We needed a lot of check-ins. We needed to be close to our partners all the time. When we were dysregulated or we had like a dysregulated nervous system, we needed more from people to make us feel like we are okay. So we feel like we are too much. This is the deep work my clients and I focus on. We work on learning how to regulate our nervous system so that we can actually manage our mind, become aware of our thoughts that are making us feel too much, making us feel insecure, making us feel like someone else needs to make us feel better. So we know what is making us feel not enough. We work on our beliefs and our thoughts and are getting in the way that are getting in the way of our relationship that we want. That is getting in the way of our inner peace. So I'm going to take this topic right here, feeling like too much, and break it down into a whole podcast episode for next week, because there's just so much here, right? Us with anxious attachment, we feel like too much and not enough simultaneously. And I really want to break it down and help you know that you are not too much. You can do this work and you can calm your anxious attachment, learn how to regulate and develop the habits you want in a relationship. If you are ready to start this journey, let's go. You do not have to do it alone. I have a 12-week one-on-one coaching program where I help you with exactly what you need. How does this work? First, we meet for a free one-hour consultation where you tell me everything that's going on. You tell me what you want to get out of coaching, and I design 12 sessions to get you to where you want to be. Each client I've had has had different goals and different journeys. So I work with each client to tailor their sessions to what they need. And if you have any questions or something in this podcast you want to know more about, email me at amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com. And also, if anything's ever going on with the podcast, a podcast doesn't show up, it doesn't sound right, you don't hear it all, something got cut off, email me. I appreciate it. So if you have any questions or anything, again, that's amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com. And I will see you next time. Thank you for joining me today. You are going to want my free guide on how to calm your anxious attachment. So head over to my Instagram, Taking Back Her Brain, and grab it. If this podcast resonated with you, I would really appreciate if you would rate and share it. If you have any questions or want to know more about how to work with me, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at amberlynn@takingbackherbrain.com. Can't wait to hear from you.